Welcome to Dread, Fright, and Brew, where your favorite horror movies are paired with craft brews and ciders from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Your hosts this evening are Aaron Hatfield, Grace Schrick, and Lee Despain. Fear goes better with beer.
Wow. That's insane. Oh my god.
Wow.
Woo! It really works.
It yeah, does.
It effing works.
Well, Aaron, now you can sip on almond champagne the rest of the evening.
Oh, and I will.
That's
I know you will.
Because I drink and I know things.
That's actually super fun.
Are you?
Yep.
All right.
And there they are.
Well, so
Christmas episode.
just two episodes ago, we got a little schnookered. We had a little bit of fun. That was good.
We were a little hammered.
And we decided we would watch that because we want to kind of keep our wits about us as we move on through these podcasts.
As we're doing champagne bongs.
We began this, yeah, by doing champagne bongs.
It's shambong.
The shambong.
Shambong. Shambong.
Individual shambongs.
Yep. Sham on, sham off.
That's the shambong.
Which also kind of looks like a giant crack
pipe. Shambong.
They really do look like a crack pipe. But best Christmas gift ever.
It's pretty freaking hot.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous.
Well played, Lee.
Yeah.
All right, and now Lee, fill the 50-liter stein.
Oh, Jesus.
And drink it all.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to feature that one down the road.
Yeah, no, that's not
because that is.
We've got one.
That is an incredible
that
one.
That will be glorious.
I actually brought something.
Oh.
Now, don't get too excited. It's really outside of the wheel.
I think
we're
mostly excited that you brought it in a Merce.
Yeah.
This is a lunchbox.
This is everything.
That's the thin blue line, though.
Yeah.
That's fair.
No, this is. It's not. It's way too big of a deal already.
Words are hard.
It's really way too big of a deal already. I just happen to have a handful of these that I've been that I've gotten over the years, and considering what recently just released to theaters, I thought we should celebrate.
Oh,
oh, what?
So
I get Vader, and do not call him cute.
Oh.
He's cute.
He's a Sith Lord.
That's super.
I thought we
awesome,
should celebrate by means of
so
the
a Darth
new
Vader,
release,
like ceramic. It's almost kind of tiki.
It's a little tiki,
yes,
but also kind of just tiki. Super deformed character, and then a ceramic.
And I'm afraid that's about as interesting as it gets, right?
Oh, there. Dude, we both
Vader,
got
Darth Vader.
Dude, we both got Vaders.
Yeah. You have a lot of Darth Vader mugs.
Yeah, I,
don't you want a Vader? I can be a stormtrooper.
No, I'll be a stormtrooper. It's all good. You guys are my lord and masters.
Ooh. She's more of a Chewbacca, anyways.
I was kind of hoping there was a Chewie in that bag.
No, I
These
you
are
know
cool.
I need a Chewie.
People have given me Darth Vader mugs over the years, and apparently the chalice and whatnot. So I thought, hey, you know what? Regardless of what your individual opinion is of the new Star Wars, you got to give props to Lucas and what he has, you know, delivered upon us in terms of the Star Wars franchise, the technology in special effects and sounds and everything like that. So I just thought, seeing how it just released, it was kind of appropriate to at least, you know,
well done,
toast definitely out of the mugs today.
Well, however, I would be remiss if I didn't also say you got to give props to Disney
for fixing
for
that,
picking that
fuck
shit
up of,
back up off the ground after Lucas lost his damn mind.
Yeah,
with those prequels.
True.
Which, but
maybe
I agree with
what
Lee's saying. I mean, the
happened
fact that Lucas put this all into motion and it's still so.
How
huge
about we
so
celebrate him
still so
selling
huge
his shit to Disney?
Yeah, I mean,
the if, smartest thing he ever did.
I agree. That was a very good decision.
It is my life's
till
dream
the sellout.
Wow.
Well, I remember back when he was like so mad at Disney because of Star Tours, he had said that on Star Tours he would give them updated ride footage so that they could change the ride because it was always the same back in the day. And the reason he never gave them the updated ride footage was because they weren't like taking care of the ride. And, you know, Disney is not a park that I would say ever is in disrepair, but they definitely have sprucier areas than others sometimes, and some things need a facelift for quite some time before they get it. And I guess he felt that Star Tours and Tomorrowland was one of those places, so he never gave them that footage. But they ended up, you know, buying it.
Well, yeah.
And so now they've got all that great footage, and the ride has all those different mix and match options, and it's different every time you go on it and all those kind of things. So I really think that Disney coming upon Star Wars was a really good thing. What do you guys think about Disney getting on Fox?
I think that every Big Brother, Norwell, freaking Brazil, Max Headroom, all of those movies and TV shows that talk about Firefly, one giant corporation that owns everything is art mimicking life now. And it is starting to happen. I thought it was going to be some Chinese company, but it looks like it's going to be Disney.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's really five or six companies that pretty much own everything anyway. So
did you see the picture on the internet where,
but this is one of the first times where one of those has bought another one of those. And you're like, oh,
Would you see the picture on the internet or the post where, the Simpsons predicted it back in the day where they had a little scene that said 20th Century Fox now owned by Disney. That's like years and years and years ago. Yeah.
That's really funny because they predict so much.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, the Trump presidency and all that, where he was, I mean, they,
you've got an unusual amount of things that are happening that are being coming to fruition. What, 85, when RoboCop came out, Detroit was bankrupt and it had to be bought by corporations. And then, what, 2 years ago, Detroit started going bankrupt and they had to, you know.
This campaign's much better through a bomb.
than it is Darth Vader's head?
Because
it's not a sipping champagne, it's a chugging champagne.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's pretty not good.
All
right. Anyway, so let's put some real beer in these, huh?
Yes.
What are we pouring?
Wingman Brewers Dark Waters.
Dark Waters.
It's appropriate for what we're just reviewed.
We totally thought that it was. There's a lot of stuff going on in this beer. That's for sure. And we'll get to that here probably pretty quickly. But the main thing about this beer that I think drew us all to it is the fact that it has Cthulhu on the front. In all of his majesties. The whole label and everything is very kind of awesome, elder god-y, old worldy skulls and tentacles, which if you've listened to our podcast since the beginning, you know we've touched upon quite a few times where we like the Lovecraftian themes. And what I really like about it is it lists the secret ingredients down the side. And then also some suggested pairings. Yes. And I think it was our beer gremlin that found this beer read these off. But the pairings are human sacrifice, forgotten artifacts, and calamari, which is just so hilarious. And it's from a series called the Deep Ones series. And I would love it if I was able to find out there was more of these in this series. But Wingman Brewing is so named because the president of Wingman, Kenny Thoburn, his grandfather was a nose artist on World War II bombers.
Oh,
and they just liked that aesthetic so much when he and his three buddies got together and made this thing. They said, well, let's just do that. So all the rest of their stuff is World War II bombers and pinup kind of stuff and very stencily militaristic. But then they went out on a tangent with this one beer, Dark Waters, and made it very Lovecraftian and Cthulhu. And thing is this has a lot of special ingredients in it. And we'll see what we all think of it before we start talking about those ingredients. Because there's a lot of stuff going on in this that might be a little surprising on the palate.
There's a spice going on in the back of the throat right now. It feels like it has some kind of heat added to it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, considering
you have identified the dried chilies.
Oh, is that? Yes. Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. There's a lot of stuff. So what we've got in this is cocoa nibs.
Yep.
Coffee from a place up in Washington called Blue Beard Coffee. You also have cinnamon, Ceylon cinnamon, and then dried chilies. All of which gives it a very kind of dry, almost like a fruit rindy. If it did have a sweetness, I don't know. It's very good. It's a, what am I trying to say here? Imperial stout.
Yeah.
Comes in about.
Technically an oatmeal stout. It's got a good amount of oats to it.
Yeah. Comes in about 10%. And they've been doing it a couple years now. And I think originally it was seasonal, but I'm finding that it's pretty much out kind of all the time now. Yeah. So
it's not always the most reliable to get wingman in Oregon.
No.
Sometimes we can get it, and other times it's just kind of hit and miss.
Well, you know, and I don't mind that heat at the back.
No, it's actually...
It's actually really quite good. It's got it's good little... It reminds me of some of those specialty chocolates that have, you know, habanero or something, chunks blended into it, or flex blended into them.
Okay.
You get just a little bit of creaminess that controls the heat, and then at the very end, it sort of flares up to the finish. And I'm not a big heat guy, but this is actually quite good.
Yeah, it is really good. So apparently the coffee they use is cold brewed coffee. The cocoa nibs are Tanzanian, and they are roasted by a chocolate company called Tease Chocolates. And the chilies are smoked jalapenos. And I think that's where that vegetal kind of earthiness comes in on this. From Oregon. And also cayenne peppers, which are grown in Washington. And then they put cinnamon sticks in there, and that gives you that little zing.
Shoot, it's... that reminds me a little bit of the Ten Lords of Leaping when they put, you know, all those 10 spices and ingredients in them. And there's a lot going on with this. I wonder how well it would shambong.
Something tells me we might find out. But Wingman Brewers, they're out of Tacoma. Up in Washington, they just celebrated their 5-year anniversary last month, actually. November of 2017 was 5 years for them.
I didn't realize they'd been around that long.
Yeah, I didn't either. They opened in 2011, and I realized I didn't know much about them, so I pulled up the YouTubes, and I found this really cool little entry of a web series they put on kind of kicking their stuff off from the ground. And so you're watching them in their space, literally just homebrewing, and canning cans one at a time by hand. Wow. And, you know, filling kegs one at a time. So they brew a batch, fill a keg, brew a batch, fill a keg. I mean, so you're watching these guys, you know, do their grains out of a old plastic beer pitcher, you know, and just pouring them into a little pilot system. And that's how they started. And they were able to take it from a nano like that to a full micro, which is, you know, determined by how much beer you produce within that first year. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Four guys that had, none of them had any experience working at a brewery before, anything like that. They had been home brewers. They were brewing for friends and parties and events and things because they were overbrewing. They couldn't drink as much as they were making. And it turned into this. But apparently, and this I don't know a lot about, so this I will have to do some investigation later. But apparently they have an event called the Denizens of the Dark, and it's a Lovecraft theme event. Which, again, I don't know how they particularly got their hands on that, but I think that's another really cool reason to feature them and this beer. And it's kind of like, you know, their version of like what Fort George does so huge, like the Festival of
Dark Arts. The Festival of Dark Arts.
But very much Lovecraft themed and based. And I think this beer was supposed to kind of be the first release, and then they might do other ones later, but... So far, I've just seen this one.
I would like to see what
I have to look more into that event also, because I want to go to it, quite frankly, the next time it's coming around, because that sounds pretty cool.
Well, something this dark and this serious and taking on the Lovecraftian theme fits perfectly with the movie that we've also picked for it, too, which I don't think we've mentioned yet.
I don't think we have. You know what else we haven't mentioned? Hey, thanks for joining us for episode 11. Dread Fright and Brew.
Yeah.
This is Aaron.
I'm Lee.
Juan.
Grace.
Juan, our permanent member now, as far as I can tell.
We're going to
gotta edit our intro.
Yeah, we're going to do our intro and have, like, special guest star, Juan Montalbano.
The second we edit the intro, he's going to quit.
Yeah, he'll be like, well, I didn't want commitment. I fear commitment.
I fear commitment.
So what we should do is just have the normal intro we have now, and then right after that, I'll have a speak and spell say, and Juan Montalbano.
Oh, yes.
And then we can just snip it John Wayman when he leaves. Yeah, we could do that.
You hush your mouth right now.
So yeah, four of us are here with you again, and tonight we are reviewing...
Grabbers.
Awesome movie. I think, actually, several of us saw this movie for the first time together.
It was me, you, and Deanne.
Okay.
That was it.
Yeah. I thought... You weren't there?
I wasn't there.
Oh, nope. I thought Lee was there. All right.
Hate to say it, but no.
Well, it was at the Hollywood Theater up in Northeast Portland, and I was blown away. Just, I mean, from the first time I saw it, I absolutely loved this movie. And honestly, from the first time, you know, we were sitting around and putting together the idea for Dread, Fright, and Brew and getting this thing going, I thought, well, that movie's going to happen eventually. So I'm really glad we're doing it this early on in things, because it's a horror movie about drinking a lot of beer.
Yeah, it's super cool. You know, basically, it's residents of an island off the coast of Ireland. They get besieged by this black tentacly facehuggerish sort of alien, and the heroes discover that the only way to, I guess, survive its attacks is to get drunk.
Yeah.
So
it does not that's like alcohol.
Right up our alley.
Yeah, there's really not a lot to give away on this one. And we're always talking about, well, we don't want to give it away, or we don't want to say too much, or we don't want to. But I mean, that's
it's a pretty straightforward.
In a nutshell.
That's the tagline. So anything you do to look it up, it's boom. All it's right
I
know there.
Is I've decided if we ever get invaded by aliens, I'm surviving, because that's what I can do is I can drink.
Yep.
And I can get drunk. And guess what?
You'll leave survive. Me alone. You can survive the alien attack. Yeah, I mean, War of the Worlds would have been so much cooler if Tom Cruise was just schmammered the whole time.
You know what would have made War of the Worlds so much cooler?
Not having Tom Cruise.
Not having Tom Cruise.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Yeah. All right.
For sure.
It was just an excuse for him to run some more and
fuck.
Smile charmingly.
But who would you replace him with?
I wouldn't have remade it.
The Rock.
What?
No.
You want another Jumanji or Tooth Fairy or what? No.
Hey, one of these days, The Rock is going to get a sweet deal and he's going to be the shit.
Yeah, well, he's running for president next year. That's what I'm hearing. Or next cycle, or I don't know. Yeah. I don't pay attention to this crap anymore. It just hurts. As much as possible. But yeah, he said he's putting in his bid to go for president. And if Idiocracy has taught me anything, is that that could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it might be better. Oh, but yeah, this was a 2012 film. It was kind of labeled as a British-Irish film. Right. Filmed in Ireland. All the main cast is Irish. It takes place on an Irish island. But I know they got a lot of funding out of Britain.
I think it was produced primarily by... British companies.
The British, apparently, as we just found out when we started playing it, the British Lottery, I guess, a lot of the funds went to kind of helping to produce this. So that's pretty cool. It's got the perfect runtime. It's like right on an hour and a half, if you snip the credits out of there. Mm-hmm. It's like an hour 30. If it had been any longer, I think it might have gotten long-winded and a little out of sync. It wouldn't have had the pacing that it has. And if it was any shorter, I would have wanted more. So I love it. It's exactly perfect.
And even though it seems like it's got a B-rated sort of storyline, it actually has a top-notch treatment. It won numerous awards, actually.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was let's see here. I actually was looking at them earlier. It won the the Fangoria Chainsaw Award.
Oh, okay.
Which is super cool. The Golden Trailer Award, Irish Film and Television Award. Fantastic Film Festival Award, Rondo Hatton Classic Horror Award, and then just a bunch of other ones here that I can't even pronounce. So it fits because it is quality.
It really is. It's a B-rated idea executed in a, and I'm saying this with the best possible context that you could take that, you know, and it's executed in a B-rated way. But with, like, Hollywood production values.
Yeah.
The CG in this, and again, we rally on the CG here because we usually don't like it, is so good.
Yeah.
I was watching the film earlier today, and there's a part where they're nail-gunning a CG creature. And, it's flawless. You can't tell. It looks so perfect. I rewound it, watched it again. It was quite amazing. The CG really, really works in this film. I like it because it's... It's got that great production value, but doesn't take itself seriously at all as a movie like this shouldn't. So for me, it rocks in as like one-third Tremors, like one-third Shaun of the Dead for the comedy and just the settings and the pub environment and all that kind of stuff, and then one-third Aliens for this weird tentacled face-huggery kind of creature that sucks your blood. So
what a shitty place for, because the movie starts with a meteorite hitting the ocean just off the coast. Mm-hmm. So what a crappy place for an alien species to crash land to then start, you know, feasting and propagating when it's got, I don't know what it is. It's an aversion or it's a poison to alcohol or something like that.
Yeah, it's poison.
Right, on the freaking coast of freaking Ireland.
There. Well, and that's what I love is that it plays on that stereotype mm-hmm. of just Irish people and their drink. And knowing some Irish people, the stereotype has a certain amount of grounding in reality. So I think it's great that they...
Grace?
Yeah, yeah. We're looking over there.
Yeah. Stop judging me!
But I like that they took that, you know, stereotype and turned it on its head and made it a superpower.
Yeah, yeah.
Where if this had happened to any other coastal village in the world...
You know what, though? Drinking should be a superpower.
They would die, yeah.
Like, seriously.
It reminded me of...
It should be.
Shyamalan Signs. You know, aliens going to land on a planet that's sure. two-thirds water and water, you know, kills them or whatever. In that sense. That's all I had.
Fair enough.
It just reminded
well,
me of
that. I really enjoy Signs. I like Signs a lot. I think I might even like Signs more than I like The Sixth Sense just because The Sixth Sense had all that. It had the power of the reveal and the surprise, but as a film, it doesn't engage me as much on a second watch as Signs does, which I've watched Signs probably a dozen or more times now, and I enjoy it every single time. I think it's a really good film.
Do you like it better than Split?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I like it better than Split. And I enjoyed Split too, but I enjoyed Split more for the setup of what could come mm-hmm. from that, because Unbreakable, I think, is his my favorite film.
Oh, yeah. You know, Shyamalan. Unbreakable and Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Just have to be some of my top favorite.
Yeah. I think Unbreakable is close to flawless as a storytelling piece goes. It's very, very good.
What? Mm-hmm. This Grabbers didn't put it above that?
Oh, I'm not putting down Grabbers.
I mean, they did some top-notch things. They actually had their main characters get drunk.
Well, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I read that the director took them out. I read that the director took them out to a bar and got them wasted and filmed them, and then showed the film back to them, and was like, "This is what you do when you're drunk." So that in the times when they did have to act it, they could go, "Well, this is apparently what I do," and they could mimic those behaviors. And I'm thinking that has to be a nightmare. Because I see video or hear even these recordings of myself when
and
I'm
just
not drunk,
with
and I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm an idiot." What would I think if somebody was just showing me myself being drunk? And then
you don't
say,
need to be
act like that
drunk for Melvin us to have night. That opinion. Though
that's all that's I can true. Say. That's true.
We're all pretty much idiots. Just talk to Grace.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, professional. I got this
through and through.
Yeah, and. This film, you know, I don't know how important it is to go scene by scene and talk about the plot all the way through, but you've got an Irish fishing village and something's coming out of the sea. And these creatures are really Lovecraftian. And what I like about them is that they remind me extremely much of the aliens in Edge of Tomorrow. Speaking of Tom Cruise movies, this is one of his movies that I really enjoy.
Yes.
I've seen it.
Oh, it's actually really
cool. A lot of
good.
People think it's called Live, Die, Repeat or something like that because that's what it said giant cover. On the cover. Yeah. And I think Edge of Tomorrow didn't really describe the film as well as Live, Die, Repeat. So they made that really huge and put it on the cover. But yeah, Tom Cruise, science fiction movie. It's really good. It's another one that I've watched several times just to kind of get into the intricacies of. But the creatures in that remind me a lot of just kind of an evolved Grabber. And I think it's really cool that Grabbers totally predated that and that this little, you know, tiny – well, it's not tiny budget, but this little low production movie.
I don't even know what the production cost was.
I didn't look up any of that. But something tells me it's a lot – less than what the finished product represents. I think they did a lot with a little in this film. And so these creatures come out and they drink blood. I mean, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. We learn very early on in the movie that the only thing these creatures need to survive is water mm-hmm. and blood.
Yep. So Aaron, are you saying that the aliens came down to suck the juices?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, we're
Sorry.
We're right back to Killer Clowns. That was Shall Not Be Named shit. Episode.
Wow, nice pull,
yeah.
Grace. Nice pull.
Yeah. I actually almost said earlier that they suck the... And I stopped myself because I didn't want
to go there again.
Oh, shit. Come full circle.
But that in itself has a very Lovecraftian vibe. Here's this like tentacled monster that's coming out of the ocean and it's attacking a little seaside village. I mean, it just screams like, you know, Shadows over Innsmouth or something like that. But in such a like Shaun of the Dead goofy, silly way. We have another bottle of this we can grab. Yeah. By the way, as this beer warms up.
Yeah.
Also have
he who is not a proponent of warmer beers.
You know, I'm being around, well son. We're all learning a few things on this
with
podcast.
With the darker beers.
They are better warm though. Big boy seriously. Pants.
I'm going to pour myself a little bit more.
One thing that I thought was really clever when they did this, or part of the scene in the movie, is they're like, yeah, there was a doctor, forensic scientist or something. What was he? It was aquatic biologist or something like that. And so one of the fishermen pulled his crab traps up and captured a baby alien.
A little grabber.
And the little grabber, you know, turned on him and the fisherman dude ended up killing it and then bringing it to this doctor guy and the doctor was examining it and whatnot. And he said, yeah, I've discovered that it really needs only two things and that is blood and water in order to survive. I have no idea what this thing is. They didn't know it was an alien at that time. And then they're like, well, how did they get on land then? And the old drunk sailor dude was like, it rains. And I was like, oh, fuck. Well, you're not safe no matter what.
Yeah.
And that was so clever. I never thought about that before.
And then they let us know that a storm is coming in an equally hilarious way. Because the two main characters in this film are a burned out town constable, basically, who is worthless.
He's a drunk.
He's already a drunk. Yeah, and we find out that he's right had a bad relationship, and he's recovering from that, and he's pretty much just given up on everything. And then also the mainland, what do they call them, Gardas, their police there?
Yeah.
The mainland officer who's been sent out to kind of watch him while his chief is away, and basically keep him from just running a shit show in this town for the whole time. Mm-hmm. And she is straight-laced and prim and proper, and I started getting vibes of Hot Fuzz.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where Simon Pegg is sent out into that little village. And so, I mean, the nods in this, you know, whether they were intentional or not, just make it feel very comfortable because there's so many kind of other movies represented in this one. So she has to do her best to keep this guy in line, but it turns out this guy has what eventually the will gift. Become a superpower.
He has the gift of drink.
Of drink.
Yes, he does.
He's skilled at the game of
because
drink.
As people in this town start dying, they start identifying that a couple people are around them but aren't attacked. And it's the town drunk.
Who's got like some basically bathtub whiskey or something.
He's a moonshiner for sure. On I forget what they called it. They had a cool Irish word for it. I don't remember. And then this officer who's super drunk all the time. And so, but anyways, getting back to it, I love the way they foreshadow that it's going to be a storm and rain and all that because this straight-laced officer is talking to what she sees as one of these like little island, you know, fishing village bumpkins. And the bumpkin says to her, oh, yeah, it looks like a storm's coming. And she says, oh, yeah, can you tell because the gulls are flying super low over the water? And she goes, no, I saw it on the news. I thought that was pretty good.
And I don't know if they made that change in the script or not because at that time, apparently, right during filming, they actually saw the worst storm that they had seen in a while. Which made filming really tough to do. So for whatever, you know.
It certainly helped.
Yeah, it helped, absolutely.
And it was great that we found out that they could come ashore during rain, and then we find out a huge rainstorm's coming, and it just kind of sets us into a, now they could be anywhere. So they really found an easy way to shatter the boundaries of the sea for this seafaring. Because they're kind of, I don't want to say octopus-like, they're more starfish-like.
Yeah. Yeah, they got like a central razor mouth.
Yeah.
And then just freaking Predator dreadlocks.
Yeah, surrounding. They're very much facehugger mixed with a Lovecraftian.
Mm-hmm.
Just terror
apparently, and I don't know about pounds, but apparently it was the budget was 4 million pounds.
Yeah, I don't know how that.
And I'm not sure how that breaks
translate.
Down.
I think it's a little bit. Well,
you
got
to figure out what it was back then, too, because now it could be even different.
Well, here you go. One of the Blu-ray companies from over there, I think Arrow, was just having a sale. And I think they had discs on sale for £10, and they were $15.
Yeah.
So how much did you say it was?
Well, it says 4 million.
Okay, so it'd be $6 million.
So that's actually a pretty...
It's a pretty decent budget, chunk. Actually. Yeah, that's not bad. Especially for a film with some pretty fresh talent. I mean, the guys that... Well, the director, John Wright, and the writer, Kevin Lahaney. Not a lot on their resume before this. This is kind of what made them.
Yeah.
And also not a lot since this, which is very interesting to me, because I'd be dying to know what they could do, because this is just so fun.
Well, yeah, and generally when you open up a door like that and you have such a film that wins so many awards and makes money, you kind of want to assume something bigger is going to come out of them next. This is why I love foreign films so much, and I guess you would call this a foreign film.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know how many people know about Grabbers out there in the American film world, but it was a treasure. It was a really cool find.
Yeah.
Something I wouldn't have normally have looked at if...
No, it seemed to be one of those festival films that kind of did really great on a lot of circuits, and then it hit some of the festival film theaters, like the Hollywood and places. But then it wound up on Netflix for a long time, and I think that got it a pretty decent following. And right now you can watch it on Hulu, so if you have Hulu, you can check it out there. But it seems to have done okay for itself. What I don't ever see of it is physical copies, because I would love...
We checked Amazon?
Yeah, I'm sure it's on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to grab a physical copy of this and have it, because the cover is fantastic. If they use the original poster, the one that we had of the kind of 1950s housewife with her head chopped off, it's just... Anyways, look it up. It's a hilarious piece of art, the cover for this film.
Which, speaking of hilarious piece of art... Juan just got, what was it, the ice cream movie? What the hell?
Ice Cream Man.
Ice Cream Man. Yes. I just looked at the back of that, and it has...
Clint motherfucking Howard, dude.
Fucking That's Clint right. Howard holding a giant, well, a big waffle cone, and a fucking dude's head as the ice cream right on the top.
Oh, yeah. Well, fucking don't hilarious. Give too much away, because coming soon to a certain podcast near you might be the Ice Cream Man.
I love it. I'm down with that.
Yeah, it just also got a really awesome release from Vinegar Syndrome with a really cool slipcover Blu-ray with some fantastic art that's way more deserving than this film probably needs. But we might have to go that route sometime soon.
Love it.
So one thing I loved about Grabbers is we already talked about the CGI and how it kind of surprised us, but I love the fact that the CGI was so good, and the practical effects, such as people getting their heads lopped off, because the male grabber happens to be a whole lot bigger than the female grabber. Female grabber might have like a 3 or 4 foot little arm span, very tiny and the male one's like 15 to 20, I would say.
Pops out eggs the size of a volleyball.
Yeah.
Or so.
And this male one has a knack for eating people whole, except the head. So there's a few severed heads in this film, and they are like the cheesiest, lamest practical effects, which is so perfect.
Yeah.
I love that the CGI rose to the occasion, and the practical effects, they were like, nah, now we're going to B-movie the hell out of this.
And they bring the action early on, too. I mean, I never found kind of a quiet moment in the film.
No.
Right out of the gate with the meteor hitting and then the ship... You know, the three crew members going down, even to the discovery of the little tiny grabber, which turns out to be the female.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Taking down that old salty dog in his bathroom. It's very cool.
And all the comedy, the humor in this was so good, and it's everything from we're laughing at it now just because it's on the screen.
It's when they decided to get the prim one drunk.
Well, that's I think the funniest part. That's my favorite piece of humor in this is that this officer who's a super drunkard has to sober up and handle business.
And the straight-laced one
so is that the one. He can watch over the straight-laced one and make sure she survives, which, of course, the only way she can do that is by getting super shmammered. And they have to get the whole town shmammered. Yeah. So that's where this movie eventually goes is the only way to save this town from the onslaught is everyone in town gets drunk, so they open up the local pub.
Yeah, I was going to say, where does that all
and have a town party.
The pub.
And then the humor just goes, like, riotous for me, especially.
Oh, yeah, because then you have a bunch of drunk people coming up with ideas on how to beat this alien thing. You've got super soakers full of gasoline and like just the dumbest shit you can imagine.
But also but awesome at the same time.
Seems like genius ideas. It seems like geniosity to these drunk assholes. And it's delightful.
I'm glad you brought up that super soaker because that was a fucking scene that I was just laughing at because he's got the super soaker and he's got a little, what is it, like a birthday candle?
Yeah.
And he lights it and he...
And then he runs out into the rain. He runs outside
in the rain and is just like, right.
Yeah, so much for the flamethrower.
Yeah, yeah, totally hilarious.
Great, great humor. Not very scary. Like, I think this is a super approachable horror film for a much younger audience than the whole idea of whole town gets drunk and survives alien attack would normally lend you to believe. Like, yeah, I mean, I could see
outside of alcohol usage and severed heads, it's not.
But I think even that is done in a way that like is would be hilarious to kids.
Yeah,
watching a bunch of adults act super drunk for a movie is really funny, even if you're a kid. I think, and there's nothing really inappropriate, and the gore is super reined in.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's what I was saying. It just has these overtones. It's like, yeah, sure, there's drinking. Sure, there's a few severed heads. But it's not done in a...
it's not meant to terrify you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's meant to entertain you.
Yeah, for sure. And in that way, it's a horror film along the lines of Shaun of the Dead or one of those, for sure.
Tucker and Dale. Killer Clowns,
You know what's coming out of this Dark Waters from Wingman is the cinnamon. It's so good. And there was also like a little licorice vibe happening. Yeah. I'm just saying, as this thing warms, it's getting really, really fun.
Yeah, no, totally.
Like the first couple sips, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. It's pretty good beer. But now I'm really, really enjoying it.
Yeah, well, the dark side is with you.
And so they'll have to add on their bottle. We should give them a call and say that the pairings now have to be human sacrifice, forgotten artifacts, calamari, and watching grabbers.
Yes.
Because I think this is really perfect for this.
I think you should reach out to him. Make it happen.
We should do that.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted because I see Grace over there cuddling this bottle.
Oh, a cork came out of something. That's not a good sign. Or that's a very good sign.
But she brought it in a black box, too. And you know the beer gremlin is about to drop a fucking bomb on us.
I'm looking at the box.
This is my box.
I want to look at
it. It's a surprise, so stop touching the box.
Yeah, Juan, her box is a surprise.
Yeah, stop touching it, friends.
Stop touching it.
It's not a surprise anymore.
Wow. We're getting a window into way more than we ever wanted to know.
I just snatched your box.
Please stop.
He's such a grabber.
I was looking at it.
Oh my god.
anyway.
See, it's okay to do that in society now, apparently.
Oh, shit.
You can just grab a box and you don't pay any price for it.
Right?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
What did you bring for us? Get us back on track.
So I brought something special that I've been hoarding for quite a while and decided it was time to drink it and I should share it.
You gotta quit wasting these gems on these losers. Myself included.
Excuse me. I live with her, so I'm the first loser.
Trust me, that gets to... I have a lot of gems. It's fine.
I like that. I'm going to remember that phrase. Maybe have that made into a t-shirt for you. I live with her, so I'm the first loser, is what you just said.
It's pulling rank in the order of losers.
Yes, exactly. You guys,
I am the supreme loser.
Bow before me.
So I brought something kind of fun, because I figured, in the spirit of this movie, nobody helped fight sobriety in Ireland better than Arthur Guinness.
Oh, shit.
And Guinness is a very special thing in my little world. I'm a dork,
It was a beer that got me started. I wasn't just going to bring it your traditional Guinness, because everybody's had that. So I brought the Guinness, the 1759 limited edition.
Whoa.
This came out.
God, that's beautiful. Year and a half, bottle.
2 years ago, something like that. It is the original amber recipe that he did. So in 1759, Arthur Guinness signed a 9,000 year lease on the St. James Gate Brewery.
Okay. Yes, he did.
And that's what started Guinness. Like, he decided to try his hat and got into Dublin and signed a 9,000 year lease. Right. So he's good. You know, when 9,000 years passes, then we're going to have to worry.
Yeah.
But for now, they're good. And everybody's used to just having your Guinness stout.
Right.
And
you did not start
with. Don't get me wrong.
Or a black and tan beer, or a black and tan
or all those things. But this is something different. This is kind of a small batch thing that they did. It's part of their brewmaster's kind of selection and things like that. It's one of the few kind of really high-end specialty ones that have come to the States.
The 1759.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you brought Guinness, because I was thinking that myself too. I was like, well, this is a perfect opportunity to introduce, you know, an old standard that everybody knows, but to really brag on it.
Sure.
And you take it
but
up.
But I
and,
couldn't just be normal.
No, yeah, no,
I'm
exactly.
just glad she brought it, to it up this film instead of like someday when we do like a Leprechaun or something, and then it would just be totally wasted.
No, because I think, I mean, Guinness is a source of a lot of drunkenness, I'm sure, in Ireland still, and then also here. So I figure we had to give him a little nod.
Yeah. Now, he's going to save them all
from sucky face grabbers.
But just this month?
You so learned I'm how watching to an pour. Old lady on TV.
I did. So in Vegas, I still haven't gotten to go to Ireland, which makes me cry.
Yeah.
But there's a Guinness store in Vegas. And you can now get certified to pour the perfect pint at the one in Guinness.
Yeah, awesome.
It was delightful.
And you did this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. But the girl yeah, who that Guinness store.
That gal from Dublin.
Down on the end there that we normally don't even hang out at. Down on the...
Mandalay Bay.
Is it Mandalay?
By Excalibur in New York, that end. That Guinness store, I guess, got remodeled and now offers right like, all sorts re-rom. Of awesome stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So our... Guinness is about to be poured by a certified pro.
This is true, but this is not a nitro, which is what they train you on. So the story on this is, before mastering the stout and porter for which his St. James Gate Brewery became famous, Arthur Guinness was renowned for his amber ales. Inspired by this, we proudly introduce Guinness's 1759, a traditional amber ale brewed using both peated whiskey malt and premium beer malt. Brewed to 9% ABV, Guinness 1759 is bursting with deep character, notes of caramelized butterscotch combined with a fruity sweetness, making it ideal for sipping, sharing, or serving the finest foods. Unique, blah, blah, blah. Limited edition experience. Not to be missed.
Wow.
I like it.
So, yeah.
I like it. And I like this dichotomy as well. Just like with the film, The Grabbers, we had our really fun beer, our quirky beer, our beer with a lot of awesome ingredients that come together in a kind of unexpected way. But also now we're going to have some class and some really high production values.
Oh, look at the way you tied that all together.
You didn't even know this beer was coming.
That I had no idea.
As classy as I am, this is perfect.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is awesome.
I put the ass in like class, it. Dude.
Yes, you do. Thank you, Grace.
Shit.
One shouldn't be allowed to have words. That?
Well, Aaron, I got to tell you, your master plan is working wonderfully, creating this fake podcast so that we can actually get a hold of some of Grace's beers.
No, I've actually been putting these on the internet.
What?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I would never have said the things that I said if I knew that was true.
I wondered on a few of them. I took some of them out, but some of them made it through.
Damn it. All right. Well, let's take another little moment.
That's perfect.
Sure, if you've got a...
Oh my goodness, whoa, look at the beautiful. Head on that. That's insane.
Can you ever have enough head, Aaron?
It's too much for him.
Look, sometimes it's too much.
One time. I got drunk. And someone poured a 4-inch head on some dumbass IPA that shouldn't even have a 4-inch head. And I said, I can't handle that much head.
And it will never die.
It will never die. True or not?
All right.
True.
Well, cheers. So,
sláinte.
This is fantastic. Thank you, Grace.
Ooh, that is fabulous.
So, Grace, now, where would someone find this if they got lucky enough to find this? Like, how, just what are we talking about here?
At this point, trades probably. Okay. It's not on the market anymore.
So you said this was from a year or two ago?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, I think.
That has got an incredible nose to it.
It's holding up really nice.
Yeah.
Good grief. That is a whole different beast.
Yeah, the Gallaudet, the Guinness store, found out we had a bottle of it. We were talking about all the, because they serve beers like, that you can't get here, too. She's like, now. Drink it now. It's perfect now.
Well,
I'm wow. So that's why we're like, okay, we'll crack it open then.
Glad we had this excuse to do it.
There is nothing...
You can't talk shit about this beer boozy at all, can
about
you?
It.
Oh, this, yeah. this is a Lee beer through and through.
This is perfection. I have never tasted something out of a bottle that gets my juices flowing about cask.
I don't want to hear about your juices.
Yeah. This is why I put the parental advisory.
Because of these juices?
Yeah.
Because of, man, I'm telling you, my juices are flowing because, wow.
It's pretty damn amazing.
No, yeah, just trying. literally, I'm speechless. Yeah. This is incredible. It is not bubbly or effervescent, in a way that you would think would come out of a bottle that made that smoky noise when you pop that cork.
Well, and had quality that to it. Thick.
I mean, it's carbonated,
super,
but
super, super thick. Creamy
definitely
head.
A low carb.
But it's a low carb. It's. And, you know, when you're dealing with thick beers like this, you know, we always talk about the booziness of things like that. And we say, well, this one isn't so boozy. This one is not.
There's no hint of it at all.
Yeah, this one tastes like 9%.
It is a very just mild malt. I hesitate to even use the word sweetness because it's not. It's south
more smoky.
Of that.
Smoky.
Yeah.
It's a smoky sweet. It's that peat. You can taste the peat.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, no, this had to have been brewed in the Elysian fields and then dropped upon the mortal battlegrounds and forgotten. This is amazing.
Uh-oh.
Shit just got weird.
Yeah. He's going all Nephilim on us now, so watch out.
No, I'll be indefatigable.
It's also like
about
the darkest
this.
But you can,
amber
you can smell
in color
that,
right? ever.
You can smell the smokiness and the...
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We got to get this bottle posted on Facebook, so people
just
can
a photo
see it.
Of this thing.
Yeah, it's first of all, it's a beautiful bottle.
Yeah,
it's just got an incredible satin black.
You'll notice that all of us moved away from using our Star Wars head mugs.
Oh, that was a given
because it wasn't going to be the right move for this. It's very good. Thank you, Grace.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. It's funny that Guinness will release something like this that's just like a true. You know, masterpiece of beer. I mean, this is brewing as an art right here for sure. But then they also got to try to make like a golden and a, you know, jump on like the American way. Like,
well, that's a whole series.
Wish, that's a series.
So,
but still, though, I wish they weren't struggling to try to compete with us. It's like you already can make beers that would dominate.
I don't think they don't are. That's it's a partnership. Guinness does that all over the world. They brew specific export stouts for certain markets. Like they just did a release for I don't remember how many year anniversary, but they did a special export stout from Malaysia to celebrate how many years they had been brewing over there and things like that.
Huh.
But so the whole Guinness Blonde and the Golden Ale, that series started where they decided to pair up with American brewers and they do these hybrid beers. So it's Guinness brewing it, but it's with like Northwest hops and teaming up with American brewers.
See, I just figured that
so
was
it's
a
just a
marketing
whole,
thing. So
it's more of just that here's this whole pilot series of,
cool.
We're going to pair up with the Americans and play with some other styles.
That's fair.
It's not necessarily that they're like, oh, well, we can only survive if we do an IPA. Screw that. Guinness is fine.
Guinness will.
Yeah. I mean,
they have a 9,000 year lease. They're good.
What's the likelihood of getting this again?
Zero to none.
I doubt you're gonna find it like sitting on a shelf somewhere. You're probably gonna have to swindle it through a trade or something.
God damn it.
At least as far as I know.
And how did we procure this?
I brought it into
gremlin.
My store.
Yeah. You don't
got
ask them.
She
myself.
Got it at Market of Choice.
You
brought
ask
it in.
The beer gremlin how the magic happens. You just bow
I
to
have
her.
Ways.
$17.59.
I swindled the case so I could buy it.
Look, yes. I know you guys are tired of hearing this, but
if
I
you
would
even
tell you,
say
back in the
old
day?
Old Peculiar.
Damn straight I was going to say Old Peculiar. Suck
you it. Damn I was going to ask him a little while ago. I was going to be like, so which one's better, this or Old Peculiar?
No,
I was
listen
like,
to
I'm
me,
not
man.
Saying Old Peculiar again on this goddamn podcast.
And now look. And you did. Without me you even saying anything.
But
you said it.
Now right. that it's been said.
Suckered.
I would love to add this right there, man. Right side by side with Old Peculiar. These would be my top two things that I would never shut up about. This yeah. beer is fantastic.
It really is.
It is phenomenal. This right here, if you ever want to know anything about me, take a sip of this. This is amazing. If I could get this, I would never speak about Old Peculiar again until it came to the States. But
yeah.
You say that until you see the price tag.
Speaking of which, on Facebook the other day, somebody in like the beer nerds yeah. group or something was like, hey, I want to get my dad some Old Peculiar. And I was like,
oh, no, not since 2014.
You can't. Yeah. Because wow. if it was available, this guy would have truffled. Nosed it right out of the ground. So it's not available.
Fucking truffle pig.
It's true.
You are.
I would, honestly, I would go, I would risk flying again to get over to that part of England and visit the brewery. That would be amazing.
Well, you know, this podcast setup
you gotta go
is,
over a real big ocean.
That's what I hear.
A lot of sharks.
Grace, I got to tell you, man, thank you for this. This has been
yeah, this is pretty,
yeah.
really
this
incredible.
Is pretty
epic.
You know, we talk about beers. We talk about the stuff we like. In fact, we try to only talk about the things that we like because, you know, anybody can be a dick and break something down. And but
yeah,
and you know what had to happen.
And honestly, there's some real pros, especially with the films, at doing just that. There's a podcast called "How Did This Get Made?" That is fantastic. And I don't know if you guys are listening to it, but they basically just review things. With the
just
emphasis
to tear
of
them apart.
How the hell did this become a thing? And honestly, sometimes they touch on things that I'm like, hey, I really like that. But for the most part, they're pretty spot on. So, yeah, I like the fact that we don't necessarily rip on everything. And
yeah. When I talk about liking a beer on this, I generally do like them. But when I talk about this one here, no, this is over the top. So, anyway.
I can pretty much tell from the first sip that this was going to be your jam for sure. But I mean, honestly, it's my jam too. This is fantastic.
How many more really bottles good. You got of this?
This is it.
That's it.
So what's the price point on something like this?
I think when I bought it at retail for about $35.
Dang, that's so worth it.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely. That's I so didn't worth even it. Question or blank. I was just like, I almost bought two because I'm defective.
Yeah, this is
and a hoarder.
This is super, super good.
And it's Guinness.
Oh, if the rest of the world could only be as defective as you.
Yeah,
and Guinness is my happy place.
I'm so glad you brought Guinness, and especially in this way.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that all day yesterday, and I was like, I can't just bring regular Guinness.
Light? Yeah, they're not kidding about calling this an amber ale, man. If you hold this sucker up to the light, like my lighting in here sucks, but... It's just so caramel.
Look
just
at that. When I
glorious.
Hold it up to the light, I can see Jesus.
That might be from the Shambong method.
Right.
Wow.
That's really fantastic. Yeah, I don't even know where to go after that. That's kind of a showstopper.
Leave it cry when his is done.
I'm going to. I'm going to have to pace myself on this last quarter inch.
Wow.
So
super good.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about a movie.
We were talking about a movie.
I don't know. Something water. Yeah, alien. I don't even know.
Blood sucky things.
Moving pictures.
Yeah, don't even know.
Oh, Grabbers is actually really quite good, and I think that people need to watch it. It's not something that you probably are going to know about, but hey, if you listen to the podcast, take some of these gems, run with them. If you can find this fucking beer, good God, do it.
Yeah, honestly, like I'm kind of interested in just looking to see if I can track some of this down now because it would be fun to
recreate
this moment right here because that's phenomenal.
Wow. If there's a way to find it, I can find it.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't even want to introduce my little thing now, but
okay,
maybe well, as a wrap.
We can do that on another.
Yeah, or we'll hit it off air here in a second because, you know.
Beer.
We
like beer.
So, true. Juan, what was your overall impression of Grabbers?
Oh, well, I saw it with Aaron. I mean, it was phenomenal.
We were like high five.
We were so excited when they got out.
We went to see it because we read the premise of it.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay.
It basically said small Irish fishing village.
Yep.
Alien attack.
Yep.
Drink a lot of beer.
Drink a lot of beer. Yeah.
And we're like, oh, fucking done.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
But seriously. And
I think we even got a photo with the movie poster. I think Dan took our picture.
She might have.
And I think I have that somewhere where we're standing on it, like pointing at the poster, like, oh my God, look at this shit. Because we effing like, loved this.
Walked out of there and loved it.
Yeah. You guys were giddy little schoolgirls.
Oh, yeah, we for sure. We were just talking.
I think
about
I was
it.
Working that night.
This one here reminded me, well, not reminded me, but it was right up there in the surprise, the wonderful surprises of films that I watched, not knowing what it was, just cruising Netflix one day.
Yeah.
And I was like, Grabbers. Oh, that's funny. That's like Tremors, like Graboids, you know, because when that guy said, Graboids, hey, that's my name for him. And I watched it. It reminded me a lot of the same thing with Attack the Block,
which is definitely
a film I want to put on the podcast.
That's a super good movie.
It's just this random.
Awesome.
Perusing Netflix. Oh, what the hell? I'll try it. And then totally caught off guard.
Another
and
one
pleased.
Out of the UK.
Yeah.
I've actually only seen that once, and I really want to revisit it.
Because it's because the creature in that is, again, it's just sort of an alien situation.
You ever read the comic Bones?
Unusual. I've heard of it. I've not read it.
Okay.
I think it was kind of a
medieval-y comic, whatever, and there was a... I didn't get deep into it or anything, but I loved the creature, and the creature was just kind of a black mass with some really evil eyes. And so when I saw Attack the Block, that's what came to mind was that, because the creature is pretty much that, just a black mass with some evil eyes, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you don't see a movie take place kind of from like the eyes of a bunch of street sort of thugs
that
turn out to be heroes.
Well, and that's the thing. In England, when you have the like the chavs and the hoodies and that kind of thing that we would call, you know, like Bloods or Crips or gangsters or homies or whatever, to make them the star of a film was probably pretty, I don't know, kind of
risky, maybe even. Or,
great word for it. Yeah, risky. Yeah. It would be the same as if we took a bunch of gangbangers and made them the star of a horror film, and where we're all rooting for them and wanting,
then said, "Hey, believe in these guys and root for them." And
for sure,
like, fuck that.
So I thought that was pretty cool, and I think that might be hard for us to kind of identify with, because the kids that look like that in our country are kind of the posers, if that makes sense. But sure, in that country, that's kind of the actual gangster and kind of the actual troublemaker in a lot of times. So
hooligan.
Hooligan. So I think that that was really cool for that film to take kind of the downtrodden and make them a hero. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and if Juan and Grace have never seen Attack the Block, it's totally worth putting on your list.
We'll put it on the list. Yeah. Well, if you like the films that we're talking about, or you like the way we're talking about them, or anything like that, definitely let us know. Just as important, if you don't, also let us know, because, we're fickle and we'll change our ways for you. I think that's fair. Well, you just found out that we're even putting this on the internet, so this is all a surprise to you.
I'm going to have to actually start thinking of actually creative, crazy, outrageous
things
to say.
Do a better job. This is for real. Yeah, right. This isn't just to get Grace's beers. But give us a like, give us a rating, give us a review, help us move up those iTunes charts. In any way that you can. And also, we would love to take questions or comments. We would love to take ideas. And, I mean, frankly, we'll feature it. Why the hell not? So give us an idea for a pairing. Give us an idea for a film and a beer that you've got going on. We'll do it. Yep. You know, maybe not next episode or the one after that, but we'll do that. Why not? If you've got questions for us, we'll answer them, you know, in one of these podcasts and give you a shout out. So hit us up. Give us some feedback and some contact.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a pleasure. And
it certainly has.
We'll, wrap it up and see everybody next time.
And we already had our holiday episode.
Yep.
So by the time this one airs, I think it's probably fair to say Happy New Year.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're going to be in 2018 by the time this one hits those airwaves. Uh-huh. So
Christmas is just around the corner.
Maybe we can take a look at, I don't know, a New Year's, even though it'll be after the fact.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We'll see. Well, there's always next year because this is fun. I'm not going to stop doing it.
Yeah, shit. See you all next year.
We will.
Peace.
Peace. Cheers. Blue, ha, ha, ha.